Okay, let me call the meeting to order. Good morning. This is an open meeting of the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board on November 30th, 2009. I'd like to welcome those who joined us today in person and those listening to the webcast to the meeting. Today, the board will consider recommendations to adopt a strategic plan for the years 2009 through 2013, and also a recommendation to approve the board's 2010 budget in accordance with Section 109B of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002 and the SEC's budget rule. Before we proceed with the agenda, I want to note for the record that all of the members of the board are present. The first order of business before the board today is a staff recommendation that the board adopt a strategic plan for the years 2009 through 2013. To present the staff's recommendation on this agenda item, I'll turn the floor over to our Chief Administrative Officer, Darryl Pawley, and our Budget Officer, Bill Wiggins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The strategic plan before you complies with the SEC's budget rule and is the result of an organization-wide effort. The staff carefully considered input from you and your staff, divisions and offices, and comments provided by the SEC in the summer, and made numerous changes to the plan in response. While the basic structure of prior strategic plans remains intact, we have created a more focused document and one that more closely aligns with the 2010 budget and the current environment. I want to thank Bill Wiggins and Yas Nasagian, beside of him, and all the others who had input into the strategic plan for their hard work, including the divisions and offices, for their able assistance, and each of you and your staff for your support throughout the strategic planning process. Now I'll turn the discussion over to Bill, who will present a more detailed overview of the plan. Thank you.
Thanks, Darryl. Mr. Chairman, as indicated, I'm here to recommend that the board approve the 2009 to 2013 strategic plan. The plan before you today would supersede the previous plan approved by the board on March 31st of 2008. As Darryl stated, the structure of the recommended plan is similar to prior years. It includes an introduction, our mission statement, vision, core values, key environmental factors, goals, objectives, initiatives, and performance measures. It also contains a discussion of the PCAOB's general planning, budgeting, and reporting framework. Generally speaking, the majority of the sections of the plan are unchanged from last year. They have only been refined and clarified. There are two areas, however, where major changes have been made relative to the prior plan. The first relates to the environment section, which has been updated substantially and includes a wide range of factors that could affect the board's programs and operations. Among key environmental factors facing the board in the coming year are anticipated turnover of the majority of the board and pending legislation that could expand the board's authority, among other items. The second change in the plan relates to the inclusion of a new goal. This new goal relates to maintaining a program to register and receive annual and special reports from non-public broker-dealer auditors and enhancing public information about these firms. This goal was added in light of the SEC's determination to no longer relieve certain firms from the registration requirements of the Act. The other four goals in the plan have been refined, but are otherwise thematically the same as in the prior group. In addition, the plan includes quantitative performance measures and qualitative indicators to assist in ascertaining the PCAOB's progress in achieving its mission. The prior strategic plan from March of last year was the first time the board included performance measures in its strategic plan. As such, we're learning and refining these measures as we gain experience with them. The plan reflects this fact. In developing this year's strategic plan, and in response to the SEC's comments, we have revised and added performance measures to try to refocus and improve certain projected measurements, particularly where we could provide information that would be more meaningful to the organization or align more closely with our existing management reporting tools. As I stated, we intend to continue exploring ways to further develop and refine our performance measure in subsequent strategic planning cycles. At a more general level, and as Ciro stated, strategic plan should inform the development of our budget for each cycle. Overall, I believe we have accomplished this with this strategic plan and with the budget that will follow. In connection with the preparation of the 2011 budget next year, we anticipate that you all will review and revise the strategic plan starting in January 2010. With the goal of preparing a first draft of the plan for your review by March, in time to inform the March 15th Outlook letter on the upcoming budget that goes to the Commission. Subsequent to that, it's our intent to work with you to update and refine the plan throughout 2010 and to have a final strategic plan approved at approximately the same time that the Board approves next year's budget, which is basically where we are today. To conclude, the development of a strategic plan is an organization-wide effort, as Daryl said, and certainly I would be remiss if I didn't thank everyone for their assistance throughout the process. We received more than significant support from Board Counsel Stevie Brown and Sam Ross, as well as from division and office heads. In addition, the support each of you have provided and your staff has provided during the strategic planning process was greatly appreciated. Mr. Chairman, I formally recommend that the Board approve the 2009-2013 strategic plan before you today.
Thank you, Mr. Wiggins. Let me ask the other board members if there are any motions regarding this matter.
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion.
Yes.
I move that the Board adopt the PCOB strategic plan for 2009-2013 as recommended.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you very much. Let me begin with just a couple of comments of my own about the strategic plan. On March 3, 2005, the SEC issued an order directing the board, in conjunction with the preparation of its 2006 budget, to provide the commission with what the order called the PCOB's long-range strategic plan for its operations and budget. The requirement that the board maintain a five-year strategic plan was subsequently embodied in the commission's budget rule, which sets out the process by which the commission reviews and approves the board's annual budget. The board's initial strategic plan was based largely on the blueprint for board operations in Title I of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. However, during the nearly 5 years that we've been engaged in strategic planning, we've refined both the plan and the process by which it's created. As the board has matured, subsequent iterations of the plan have focused not solely on the Act, but on developments and changes in financial reporting and auditor oversight. While there is, I think, still room for improvement, the version of the plan before us today reflects more thought about the specific challenges we face and is more tightly correlated to next year's budget than was true of previous editions. Also, while the board has always made its strategic plan public, this is the first time we've discussed and voted on this plan in an open meeting. This strategic plan, if approved, will serve as a framework for the board's programs and operations during the coming year. As Wiggins mentioned, the plan sets forth five high-level goals. Under each goal, specific objectives and initiatives describe with more precision how the board seeks to achieve that goal and in turn accomplish the board's mission under the Sarbanes-Oxley Act. These objectives and initiatives underpin the proposed expenditures in the board's 2010 budget. In some important ways, the environment has changed significantly since the last strategic plan was developed in March of 2008. While I don't want to try to summarize all of the developments discussed in the 9 pages that the board that the plan devotes to key environmental factors, I do want to highlight 3 of those things. First, the global financial crisis has affected the board's work. Changes in economic and business conditions during the past 18 months have made auditing more difficult, particularly in areas like financial instrument valuation, impairments, going concern evaluation, and other aspects of financial reporting that require significant estimates and judgment. As a result, our inspections are more challenging and the need for thoughtful risk assessment is greater. Second, there have been changes in the scope of the board's responsibilities, and further changes are likely. I'll just mention two examples. As a result of the revelation of the Madoff Ponzi scheme, the auditors of the 5,500 or so non-public securities broker-dealers are now required to be registered with the board. Legislation pending in Congress would extend the board's inspections, enforcement, and standard-setting responsibilities to encompass broker-dealer audits. In addition, some of the recommendations of the Treasury's Advisory Committee on the auditing profession would take us in new directions in terms of the nature and scope of our oversight of the major accounting firms. Third, globalization and cross-border auditing pose unique challenges. One of the things we've learned during the last several years is that conducting inspections outside the United States requires greater resources and a greater degree of insight and analysis concerning the audit environment in other jurisdictions than I at least had originally anticipated. In addition, developing cooperative relationships with our non-U.S. counterparts has proven complex and time-consuming. This is another area in which pending legislation enacted would give us additional tools to accomplish our mission. Finally, I want to emphasize what the strategic plan does not do. While it is, as required by the SEC's budget rule, styled as a five-year plan, does not in any way bind or limit future board decision-making. As a practical matter, this plan primarily provides justification and support for the next item on today's agenda, the 2010 budget. We're all well aware that the Commission is in the process of selecting two new board members. These individuals will constitute a new majority of the board. I'm looking forward to their input and guidance as to the board's future direction. Nothing in this strategic plan will constrain their choices. In fact, our strategic planning process is continual and iterative. That process will start again in January when the board, presumably with its new membership, begins the annual reevaluation of its goals, objectives, and initiatives and the formulation of the 2011 budget. Given all the people whose views must be considered, preparing, editing, and revising the strategic plan is a labor-intensive and time-consuming process. I especially want to thank Phoebe Brown, my special counsel, Samantha Ross, special counsel to board member Niemeyer, and Joe Wiggins, the board's budget officer, for their efforts. I also want to acknowledge the work that our former chairman, Mark Olson, and his chief of staff, Angela Desmond, devoted to the initial draft of the plan, which was submitted to the SEC in June. I also want to thank the SEC staff for their detailed and helpful comments and suggestions on that draft. With that, let me turn to the other board members for any comments or questions they might have about the strategic plan. Mr. Niemeyer.
I support the proposed strategic plan before us. It appropriately focuses on using the tools provided in Title I of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act to protect the investing public's interest in informative, fair, and independent audit reports. There are some new and revised initiatives that I think will improve the PCAOB's effectiveness at detecting problems before they result in investor harm. First, there's a new initiative to assess the effectiveness of our inspections on an annual basis, and I think that should help us to refine our inspections. Missing problems from time to time is inevitable. But the idea of this initiative is to learn from the past, to examine specifically how our program missed matters that later materialized, and to develop new approaches to address any flaws that we identify. Secondly, we've recast our standard-setting initiatives to focus on risk. Specifically, the plan exhorts us to identify weaknesses in auditing and related professional practice standards by analyzing information from inspections, investigations, and research activities. Proposed improvements to those standards should target identified weaknesses. I'm also pleased that the plan focuses more attention on our public exposure process. Specifically, it calls for developing clear releases and other statements describing the objectives, methods, and intent of each proposal in a manner that allows the investing public and other interested parties to understand the import and effect of the proposal and facilitates meaningful public comment. The plan also includes an initiative to evaluate and address risk associated with global networks of firms, including by considering appropriate standards on quality control. This, in my mind, is long overdue. The plan includes an initiative to improve how we manage knowledge, specifically a call for designing and implementing a system that captures, analyzes, and communicates information across the organization. We're calling this IT project the Inspection Information System. The plan also includes an initiative to disseminate appropriate information about registered firms to the public. This initiative calls for maintaining a web page on each registered firm showing all annual and special filings by the firm, all inspection reports, and all disciplinary proceedings involving the firm or its associated persons. Finally, the plan calls for conducting annual assessments of the PCLB's mix of resources to determine whether we have an appropriate mix of talent and other resources to achieve the organization's goals and objectives. These are just a few highlights, but overall I think it's a strong plan, and I support it. And thank you for all the effort that has gone into it.
Thank you, Mr. Niemeyer. Any comments?
I'll have a statement supporting both the strategic plan and the budget, but I like to do it at the same time. So I support the strategic plan, and I'll just save my comments for both until after your comment on the budget.
Okay. I think many of the things that I wanted to ask about have already been touched on. Let me just ask you a couple things about the plan that may help people when they're able to look at the public copy of it. I think we've said a couple of times that the plan is designed to support the 2010 budget. Can you kind of generally about what in the plan affects resources, or what are the most resource-intensive aspects of the plan that flow into the budget?
I guess the short answer there is that, as in prior versions, goal one of the plan covers the core programs of the organization. So if you would go through the goals underneath, I'm sorry, the objectives underneath goal one, you see how they apply to inspections and to enforcement, research and analysis, etc. So that's probably the starting point if one were to want to quickly look through the document and determine how it leads to our resource needs next.
Maybe just to help out people who might be listening, goal one is protect the interests of the investing public in informative, fair, and independent audit reports on the financial statements of public companies through effective oversight of registered public accounting firms and their associated persons. That's goal one of five. That sounds like everything we do. Would you comment on why the plan is organized that way? Or was any thought given to organizing the plan around the activities of the different divisions of the board rather than having such a sort of an all-encompassing goal?
Certainly. You can design strategic plans in a variety of manners, and one way would be to break it up by specific program areas. I think that there is a conscious decision to not do that here, and to put all the core programs up front, all the operational activities kind of toward the back of the document. But the primary reason for putting all the core programs together was to promote information sharing, and that they all relate again to that common goal. To split them up might perhaps create silos that actually work against what we're trying to achieve. That's
short. Yeah, I think it's really in a sense the strength of the plan that it isn't organized around operating units. I think tries to convey the message that we're all trying to promote common goals working together. I think in your comments you touched a little on the process for next year, but you might just reiterate that. I guess I assume that we'll begin with some sort of a planning a retreat, probably. I doubt we'll retreat any great distance, but some sort of a retreat in January to discuss the strategic plan for next year.
At a high level, the plan would be, again, to have a one-day off-site in late January. As I stated, the goal would be to reassess, take another look at where we are, and to consider, again, the environment, if there have been any developments. And this would help us build the first kind of starting point for the budget, which is an outlook letter that we're required under the SEC budget rule to send to the commission by March 15th. So by starting in January, we get to reset the process every year and make sure that we're able to align it with the budget. After March, we'll begin working in more detail to put the 2011 budget together, concurrent with the process of refining the plan. So we want to just try to get those to lie down together at roughly the same time.
And I do hope, I guess I would say expect, that by the time we begin that the planning process in January, we will have some new members on the board. I think really the discussion of the strategic plan will serve as a good introduction for them, some of the things we're doing here and what the thinking has been in the past. Just the last thing I wanted to bring out, I'll pose it as a question to you, although maybe it's really more a comment from me. What, you left one thing out of your description of the process, and that is the possibility that the plan would be published for public comment before it's finalized. I noticed the SEC, I think, fairly recently published their strategic plan for comment. Might that be part of our process?
Certainly, it's something that the board could consider going forward. We're not precluded in any way from doing that. In the course of developing the plan and finalizing it, and along with the budget, we spent a lot of time with staff from the SEC getting their comments and feedback. So while it's not available publicly, it does reflect input from arguably our largest stakeholder. So, again, we're not overall precluded something that could be done, but we have received some outside.
I certainly think it would be my feeling, I guess my recommendation, that we do publish the plan for kind of probably about the time that it goes to the SEC as a draft, and I guess that would be in March or next year. And again, we'd have to discuss that with the SEC. I would hope that they wouldn't view that as infringing on their prerogative to comment on the plan, but I don't see any reason why public and those affected by our work shouldn't have a chance to have a say on
that. On that one, given the resources that are brought to bear by the industry, I would hope that we would be very aggressive in outreaching the investor community if we did make the plan transparent, which is fine with me. But given the overwhelming resources on the part of the industry, I think we have to be very aggressive, as I say, in outreaching to all stakeholders and interested parties.
Well, maybe that'd make a good agenda item for the Investor Advisory Committee, which I think will be holding its first meeting probably somewhere around that. That makes sense. Any further discussion of the strategic plan? If not, I'll call for a vote on this item. All in favor of approving the plan, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion is carried, and the 2009 to 2013 strategic plan is adopted. Our second item today is a staff recommendation concerning the proposed budget for fiscal year 2010. Under Section 109B of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, the board is required to establish a budget for each fiscal year no later than 1 month prior to the beginning of the fiscal year, and to submit to the Securities and Exchange Commission that budget for approval. As the board's fiscal year follows the calendar year, we are here today to meet this requirement. In fact, today is the last day on which we have to approve the budget in conformity with the Act. Let me again turn to Darrell Pauley and Bill Wiggins to provide the recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Bill Yost and I are pleased to present the PCAOB's 2010 budget in the amount of $183.3 million. The budget before you is the result of a robust process that began in March with the submission to the SEC of the PCAOB's budget outlook letter, followed by the SEC's letter of budget guidance and economic assumptions in April. In the spring, the budget office and I met with you and your representative staff, as well as divisions and offices, to formulate the 2010 preliminary budget that was sent to the SEC in July. From August to October, the budget office and PCAOB staff met with SEC staff to provide a detailed overview of the budget and to answer specific questions about the budget. Most recently, we met with you and your staff to discuss the SEC's passback and recommended adjustments to the 2010 budget. We also met with divisions and offices and spoke with the SEC to come to a resolution. The result of these meetings and discussions with the SEC is the 2010 budget that we recommend you approve this morning. Before I turn the discussion over to Bill, I want to thank him, Yas Masagian, and Lily Lynn, the budget office team, for all of their hard work. I also want to thank the divisions and offices for their assistance, and each of you and your staff for your support throughout this process. Bill is now going to provide a detailed overview of the budget.
Thanks again, Darrell. As stated, the proposed budget for 2010 is $183.3 million. This budget represents a 16% increase over the PCAOB's 2009 budget of $157.6 million. The budget's based on the strategic plan that we just approved and is organized so that the activities and resource needs of each division and office are directly linked to the goals, objectives, and initiatives in the strategic plan. As in previous years, the largest drivers of the 2010 budget are headcount, which accounts for roughly 72% of the PCAOB's expenses, information technology, which accounts for another 12% of the budget, and rent, travel, and facilities, which overwhelmingly account for the remainder. The 2010 budget was constructed to provide the PCAOB with a total ending headcount of 636 employees next year, 60 more than the current estimate of 576 employees for 2009. Of this amount, the Division of Registration and Inspections is anticipated to end 2010 with roughly 360 employees, 39 more than the projected 2009 ending level. The Division of Enforcement Investigations is expected to end 2010 with 51 employees, 11 more than budgeted in 2009, seven more than where we expect to end this year. The need for increases in inspections, in particular, relate to PCAOB's reassessment of the unique risks associated with non-U.S. inspections, increased documentation practices across all inspections, and adjustments to the scope of domestic triennial inspections. The key drivers of the increase in enforcement are to support the anticipated increase in litigation workload that is foreseen next year. As I alluded, the 2010 budget is built on the headcount that the PCAOB anticipates reaching by the end of 2009. For the first time, we expect to not only meet, but to exceed our end-of-year headcount as an organization. The Division of Registration and Inspections expects to end 2009 with roughly 320 staff, 45 more than the 2009 approved budget. The Division of Enforcement, as I indicated, Enforcement and Inspections, as I indicated, expects to end 2009 with 44 staff, four more than the 2009 budget. In addition, the Office of Research and Analysis expects to end 2009 with 27 staff, three more than the budget. While it's likely the result of multiple factors, this year's hiring success stems in large part from the Board's reassessment of the resource and staffing needs necessary to to meet its hiring objectives and changes in its recruiting approach that were made earlier this year. This approach placed greater emphasis on centralized recruiting activities and expanded efforts to include 5 satellite locations to help attract inspection staff. These locations are in Boston, Charlotte, Detroit, Houston, and Tampa, and we have roughly 30 employees in those locations today. Moving on to IT. The budget includes roughly $21.7 million for information technology. This funding level will support several projects, including integration of the registration and annual and special reporting system with the Office of Research and Analysis Risk Analysis System, which is quite a mouthful. In addition, it will fund work on the inspections information system. Beyond this, the IT budget will also cover our recurring steady state activities and costs, which, by the way, account for over 80% of the total IT budget. Separately, the 2010 budget provides funds to allow the PCAOB to align its facilities commitments with the longer-term headcount projection that we expect to achieve by the end of the year. We intend to do this by leasing additional space in the headquarters building here in Washington and some additional space in regional offices such as Atlanta and Dallas. With regard to the accounting support fee, In the 2010 budget, the accounting support fee is estimated to be $178.1 million. In 2009, the accounting support fee was $157.8 million. The budget also assumes that the board will continue to have 5 months of operating resources for 2011 in its working capital reserve fund by the end of 2010. In summary, in putting this year's in conclusion, in putting this year's budget together, my staff and I worked very closely with the heads of each division and office. I certainly would be remiss if I didn't thank them for all their hard work and meeting the tight deadlines that we require. In addition, of course, I'd like to thank Yas and Lily, as well as Daryl and each of you and your staff for all of your support in formulating this document before you today. So having provided this overview, Mr. Chairman, I formally recommend that the board approve the 2010 budget.
Thank you, Mr. Williams. Let me ask the board members if there is a motion related to the 2010 budget.
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion.
Mr. Gratis.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board approve its budget for 2010 as recommended and instruct the staff to submit it to the Securities and Exchange Commission for its consideration under Section 109 of the Sarbanes-Oxley Act.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Gratison. Mr. Harris. John, let me make some comments of my own about the 2010 budget and then we'll tend to discuss it. The proposed 2010 budget would, if approved by the SEC, permit the board to spend $183.3 million next year. That would be an increase of about $25.7 million from the 2009 budget. The 2010 budget projects that headcount will increase from 576 at the end of this year to 636 at the end of 2010. The two largest non-administrative components of the 2010 budget are inspections and enforcement. Consistent with our responsibilities under the Sarbanes-Oxley Act, the board devotes the lion's share of its resources to conducting inspections of the registered public accounting firms, both domestic and foreign, that audit U.S. public companies. Approximately $87 million, or 47.5% of the 2010 budget, would be used to fund the Division of Inspections and Registration. A considerable portion of the resources of several other units, such as the Office of Research Analysis, and the Office of Information Technology, and the Office of Internal Affairs, directly support the inspections program. About $15 million, or 8.2% of the 2010 budget, would be allocated directly to the Division of Enforcement. Consistent with prior years, personnel costs will represent over 70% of the board's 2010 expenditures. These costs will, of course, increase over 2009 in absolute terms because of the headcount increase. However, the 2010 budget does not provide for any cost of living or other across-the-board compensation adjustments. The board does include a pool of money for limited salary increases based on merit, as determined on a case-by-case basis under our performance review system. The budget does not provide for any increase in board member compensation. Overall, the proposed 2010 budget would reflect growth of roughly 16% over the 2009 budget. Certainly legitimate to ask why this is justified given the current economic climate. As I mentioned earlier, the strategic plan discusses environmental challenges that the board is currently facing. I'd like to highlight several factors that are key drivers of the 2010 budget. First, as I noted in connection with the strategic plan, the economic crisis has affected public company auditing. Without repeating my prior comments, I would emphasize that inspections and AURA are both devoting effort to matching our inspections focus to the changes in audit risk. In addition, the inspection staff has deployed additional resources to enhance inspections performance and documentation. Second, resource demands related to international inspections have become more apparent as we've increased the pace of those inspections. In 2010, we expect to conduct 90 inspections in 27 countries. As this program has expanded, we've come to recognize some of the risks and complexities associated with inspecting cross-border audits. Those complexities include the need to focus on the quality control mechanisms of the large global network firms and the importance to U.S. financial reporting of what we call referred work, that is, work that is performed by audit firms other than the firm that signs the audit report. The inspections and research and analysis staff are reassessing and strengthening inspection procedures to respond to these matters. Third, the board faces an upsurge in enforcement litigation. The enforcement division has a full docket of investigations, and a significant number of those investigations are likely to lead to disciplinary proceedings. The division expects that many of these cases will be litigated. It's required by the Savings Act, where its contested enforcement matters are non-public, so there's a final resolution. As a result, respondents sometimes perceive the litigation and the delay in public disclosure is in their interest for reasons not always related to the merits of the case. Fourth, the Office of the Chief Auditor has been reassessing its standard-setting program and has an ambitious 2010 agenda. OCA is focusing on some of the nuts and bolts auditing issues and the inspections and issues that the inspections and enforcement program have highlighted as areas where the standards can be improved or modernized. Additionally, we're increasingly challenged to look at the international auditing standards as part of the board's standards setting process. Predicting the challenges in public company auditing and financial reporting is inherently an imprecise process. The volatile economic and business climate we currently face. I believe, however, that this budget will provide the board with the resources it needs to fulfill its mission in 2010. I want to thank all of the staff members that were involved in preparing the 2010 budget. Every office and division plays a role, and it's not possible to single out every employee who made a significant contribution. I would, however, like to particularly thank Darrell Pauly, Board's Chief Administrative Officer, for his thoughtful oversight, Bill Wiggins, the Board's Budget Officer, and Yossi Nasagian, our Senior Budget Analyst, for the hard work they put into the 2010 budget. I would also again like to recognize the role of the SEC staff, who devoted many hours to reviewing and commenting on this budget as played. I appreciate their help and support from the Board's mission. The other members of the board, they had comments. Steve, why don't we start at your end of the table?